day 13. We are in, let's see, our 1 Kings 3 and 6 through 12.
Yeah, so after David dies, his son Solomon becomes king. There are three kings, really, that kick off the monarchy phase. Saul is the king with no heart, right? David is the king with a full heart, mm-hmm. a man after God's own heart. With struggles, I know, but after I can see your face. Yes, he has struggles, but he is a man after God's own heart. We can't cancel him.
Nope.
And then Solomon, who has kind of this half heart, mm-hmm. is the way we think of those first three kings of Israel. And Solomon, though, starts off with a bang, right? Like he becomes king. Mm-hmm. He becomes king, and God comes to him in a dream and says, "Hey, ask me for anything, and I will give it to you." And Solomon says, "You know what? I need wisdom. Help me to be wise." Basically, what Solomon is saying there is, I can't be a good king. I don't know how. I don't know how to rule. I don't know how to be a king. I need your wisdom to help me. And God says, fine, I will grant you wisdom. In fact, the word tells us that he was the wisest that lived, the wisest that had ever lived to that point. And God also does this thing where he says, hey, you could have asked for long life. You could have asked for money. You could have asked for any number of things. You didn't. You asked for wisdom, which was good. So I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm also going to give you all the rest of those things. And so Solomon then basically, we get this picture that he becomes the ultimate pinnacle king of a nation, right? And Solomon demonstrates that wisdom with the Bible heading is a wise ruling, right? The prostitutes come and, hey, I've got a baby and it died. And then she took my baby instead. And Solomon comes up with the idea, well, let's cut the baby in half and you can both have half a baby. And the fake mother says, yeah, perfect. If I can't have it, nobody can. But the real mother says, no, of course not. Let my baby go with her. I just want it to live. And Solomon then knows who's the real mother. And everybody marvels at Solomon's smarts. And then we read about some of his building programs and some of the things he does. And we get to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, we see that Solomon is actually now overseeing the construction of the temple. David wanted to build the temple. Nathan told David, we read about this a couple of days ago. Nathan told David, no, that's not what God wants for you. You're a warrior. You're bloody. And you've done what God asked you to do, but he wants a man of peace to build this temple. So David made the arrangements, and mm-hmm. now that Saul is king, Saul is taking those plans and putting mm-hmm. them into practice. Mm-hmm. And he's building a glorious temple, and it takes years.
It's actually not that big.
No, no. So his palace is bigger.
The commentary I read, and I like this for visualization because it's very helpful for me, because the cubits and the stuff like that just don't do it. But that it was half the footprint of a Chick-fil-A, but twice the height. So it was tall, but it wasn't actually really, really big.
Did you say half the footprint of a Chick-fil-A? Yep. Good to know.
I mean, that doesn't that help in your mind?
It does.
Yeah.
But what you think about the temple, think about how glorious this is. Like mm-hmm. all of the, God goes into all of these details and intricacies mm-hmm. and these huge rocks that are dressed and they're not chiseled or, you know, I mean, they're brought and put in place, and they didn't have this equipment, hauling equipment. This was a large endeavor. Everything was intricate and beautiful and all of this. Mm-hmm. Then we read at the same time that he builds his palace.
Yes. Which is much larger.
It is much larger. Now that's not sinful. Sure. Right? Because God mm-hmm. said, I want my temple to be this size.
Yeah.
It's egotistical.
I think we start to see the divided heart.
It's egotistical.
Yeah.
It's not something we can look at and say, oh, right there, he sinned. But we can look mm-hmm. at that and say, did it need to be that large?
Right. Well, and you see him have his laborers work in shifts where they're like, okay, we're going to work a month on the temple. Now work 2 months on my house.
Yeah. But we read about the temple furnishings. We read about these things that he wanted or that God said these belong in the temple. All of the intricate details. It's this picture. And then the ark comes in, like you said, and all of the sacrifices that accompany that. And then one of the coolest things in the Old Testament is when you get to in chapter 8 of 1 Kings, when we read about the dedication of the temple, mm-hmm. right? We read about Solomon's prayer. And what I love about Solomon's prayer is it's all encompassing. Is it basically is a repeat of the covenant that Israel entered into under Moses and Joshua with God, right? It's like, hey, bless our land, bless this, help us to be a blessing to the foreigners that live among us and the other nations. And he even goes so far at one point to say, and hey, when we fail and we repent, mm-hmm. God have mercy on us. See, Solomon's prayer even there is, hey, I know, like Moses said the same thing, I know that we're going to mess up as a nation. When we do, God, and you punish us, we'll repent. When we repent, please have mercy on us and forgive us and hear the supplication of your servants and all of these things. And when you hear, forgive. And so it's this great picture. And then, you know, God responds, yeah, right, with mm-hmm. with this thick cloud of presence, and they offer sacrifices, and there's gifts to the people and blessings, and God renews the covenant. And so all of this is just great. I love in chapter 9, he says, look, I've heard your prayer, and I'm going to honor it. So you do what's right, and I will honor you. All the things I promised to David, I'm giving those promises to you. This is exactly the way it worked with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The promises were for Abraham, and then Isaac was the son of the promise. And God said, hey, look, everything I said to him, it's good for you if you'll follow. Mm-hmm. And this is now what he's saying to Solomon. Look, I made this promise to your father, and I'll make the same promise to you if you'll obey. Yep. And unfortunately,
then he does stupid.
He does stupid. We see, and it starts with a little bit of the Queen of Sheba comes to visit.
Yeah.
Because Solomon is the greatest king in the land, and Israel is the richest nation in the land. And so people come from all around to hear his wisdom and to marvel at the splendor of Israel and his palace and the temple and the things of God. And he kind of gets showy. And he starts bragging a little bit. And so God says, okay, that's a problem, right? And then Solomon decides he is real big into women.
Just a little bit.
I mean, what do we read? That he's 700 got 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, here's the thing. Some of that is Solomon political. Likes women.
Yeah.
A lot of it is mm-hmm. that he is trying to create political alliances. But yeah. here's the
but
issue.
But he likes the ladies.
Here's the issue. He's trusting God for something. Or I'm sorry, he's trusting his own wisdom and political mm-hmm. alliances for something that he should be trusting God mm-hmm. for. God is going to protect the nation, not political alliances.
Yeah.
But he marries these women, and that's
he builds sites for worshiping idols.
It's problematic that he marries the women,
yeah.
right? But it's not uncommon for people to have multiple wives at this point in history. It's not God's plan,
right?
But it's not uncommon. Mm-hmm. But where Solomon really goes off the rails is that he marries these foreign women, and he says, hey, what God do you worship?
Yeah. Let me build that for you.
I worship Asherah. Well, great. Let me build you a temple to Asherah. Yeah. And then, you know what? I'll go with you, and we'll pray there together, and we'll worship Asherah together. And so he starts to abandon God for the worship of these other idols and these other gods. And in doing that, it becomes, remember how David moved, he moved the temple or the tabernacle to Jerusalem and said, this is now the political and the religious center. Mm-hmm. This is where it is. And then Solomon starts to then change that. He says, no, it's okay if we kind of worship God, but then kind of worship these other things as too. And because of this, God says, okay, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. I am not going to allow you to continue this way. And he doesn't punish Solomon, but he punishes the nation and mm-hmm. Solomon's line. And yep. he says, I'm going to rip the kingdom away from you. He doesn't take all of the kingdom away, but after Solomon, he has a son named Rehoboam, and Rehoboam doesn't listen to wise counsel. He listens to bad counsel, people that tell him what he wants to hear, mm-hmm. and 10 of the 12 tribes rebel against him, and they become their own nation, and that's how we get Israel and Judah,
yep,
not as a tribes. United kingdom, yep. but as a divided kingdom. And then yep. the rest of the historical things will have to do with a divided kingdom.